Let me start with a story. It's about, this usually happened in this particular house. The mother will cook ham. And so what she did, she will take a ham and she will cut both ends. I do not know whether you heard this story before. And so she will cut both ends of the ham and then put it into the baking tray. And this young girl was just looking, the way the mom was doing the ham. And so she was very curious. She wanted to learn some cooking. She wanted to know, how the mom was doing. And so every time she will watch the mom cutting both ends of the ham, putting it into the tray and trying to bake it. And so one day she asked the mom, "Mom, why do you do that? Why do you, why do you cut both ends, right? And then you put it on the tray." The mom, for a moment, she did not know what to say. And then she said, "I don't know, I'm just doing what my mother taught me to do, and probably you have to wait for her. When grandma comes into the house, go and ask her why she did this, or why, And so she was waiting. This small girl was waiting. That grandma came in, and then she ran to the grandma and said, "Grandma, I want to ask you a question. Mom, she cuts both ends of the ham and she puts into the tray to bake. And she said, she saw that you were doing it. Why did you do that?" And she said, "Yeah, that's a good question. It's an interesting one. But I do not know also why. You need to go and ask my mother, who's your great-grandmother, why? Because I learned from her." And very interestingly, this young girl waited for the great-grandmother to come. And the great-grandmother came and she went and asked the particular grandmother. She's a great-grandmother. Tell me why, I asked my mother. My mother said, go and ask grandmother. And grandmother says to come and ask you. And she said, why do you do that? Why do you cut? The great-grandmother was so furious. She was so angry. And she immediately called her daughter, that's the grandmother, she called her daughter and said, she said, you have been wasting the ends of the ham for all this time. And then she said, the only reason I did, because my pan was too small, and that's why I was just cutting it and putting it, and you have wasted all the ham, the ends of the ham, for so long a period. When I was just reading this particular story, I was just reminded sometimes in our Christian life, we do things without realizing why we do things, right? We worship God. We were singing a couple of songs today. But why do we do that? Why do we sing songs? Why do we need to sing, first of all? When someone is in need, we gather around, we pray. And sometimes if you realize, Christian life becomes so mechanical. We do things without realizing why we are doing things. The same thing applies, right? Even when we come to the Lord's table today, it has become so routine, right? So routine. So we do not know what is the importance of this. What is the importance of this? And so we need to ask ourselves, why do I worship God? Why do I come and be part of this Lord's Supper? Why do I pray? Why do I do all these things if not? Christian life becomes mechanical without any power in us. And so the passage before us, it's a passage where John is writing and he's talking about that God wants to have a relationship with us, that God wants to have a communion with us, that God wants to have a relationship with us. When you look at the gospel according to John, if you turn with me to John chapter 21 and chapter 20 also. If you realize, sometimes I ask myself, why did John have to write chapter 21? If you look at chapter 20, it's a wonderful way of concluding the entire gospel. Because if you realize, in chapter 20, John writes in verse 28, John 20, 28, John, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." That's the climax of the entire thing. Thomas confesses and says, "Lord, my Lord and my God." What a wonderful climax to the particular gospel. And not only that, in verse 30 it says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of these disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ. You know, if you look at, you know, John chapter 20, it's, you know, John should have actually concluded this. But if you realize, he did not. He went down to John 21. Why? Why? You know, what is happening here, just to give you a background, you know, if you look at John's writing, he starts by saying in chapter 1, John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so John says, in the beginning, beyond time and space, you know, the Lord was there, he's there. And not only that, in 21 he's saying, and the Lord is continuing to be with us. And that's what John is trying to tell us. He is continuing to be with us. He's continuing to watch over us, as he was, that Jesus was watching the disciples, you know, trying to catch fish. They did not catch anything for that particular day. He's watching the church. He's watching each and every one of us. He's helping us, you know, in our ministries. He's helping us to catch fish. He's encouraging us. He's motivating us. And he's saying, he's calling us, come and have breakfast with me. Come and have fellowship with me. That's what John is trying to say. That this God who's in the beginning continues to be with us throughout eternity. He wants to have a relationship with us. He's calling us, come and have breakfast. Come. And Jesus is watching each and every one of us, just waiting, calling, inviting us into this particular fellowship. So my friends, even today as we come into the Lord's table, you know, I just want to remind us, right? We don't want to do the things again and again without realizing the importance. We don't want to worship God just because, you know, we have been called to sing a couple of songs. We don't want to have this communion because, you know, we used to do it every month. I think we need to ask ourselves, and this is what John is trying to tell us, that Jesus is inviting us to this breakfast. He wants to have this relationship with us. He wants to have this breakfast with us. A couple of things I want to point out to you today, and I hope I'll be done before the Cantonese service starts. If not, the technician should switch off my mic so that I will know, right, I'm speaking to myself. You know, first thing, what happens? You know, if you read chapter 21, it starts by saying, after Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way, Simon, Peter, Thomas, you know, John continues with the name, right, Nathaniel from Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee. And then he moves on, two other disciples. You know, I was asking myself, why is John trying to tell the names of these particular disciples? What is he trying to tell us? You know, John is very particular. Almost seven disciples were gathered there. Why? You know, if you look at the passage very carefully, you know, God wants us. It's a very unifying meal. John makes it a point to show that, you know, when we come into this meal, the Lord wants us to come as together as a body of Christ. Right? It's a unifying meal. And if you look at John's writing very carefully, John 17, which is the highly priestly prayer of Jesus, in John 17, 21 to 23, Jesus is praying. He's praying for the disciples that all of them may be one. Lord, because you and Lord, we are one. And so I want my disciples to be one. And so that's what John is trying to tell us, that when they come to the Lord's Supper, when we come to worship Him, when we come to break bread together, there should be oneness within the brethren, within the church. And that's what God is expecting as we come. And that's why if you look at the passages very carefully, there's always this particular word you just realize, it's one. It's one. And I was just going through some material, I realized, if you know Didache, there's a prayer in Didache. Didache is a second century a teaching material that's found, and it was used by the early churches. And it says that, you know, the Lord's Supper, one of the main aim of the Lord's Supper was to bring the people together as one body. When I dwell on Paul's writing, Paul speaks a bit more further. Paul says, you know, it is not we are all united, But I think we need to be united in Christ. That's what Paul is trying to tell us. That I should have a relationship with Christ, and I should be united with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14, Romans chapter 6 verse 5, you know, Paul is talking about, you know, coming together. And we need to be united in Christ. And so we need to ask ourselves, how is my relationship with God today? It's not just coming and breaking bread today, my friend. How is my relationship with God today? Am I united with God, with Jesus Christ? Am I in oneness with my brothers and sisters who are in the Lord? And we look at Paul's writing. You know, Paul writes very clearly, you know, he challenges the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. He says, is Christ divided? Because there was a problem in the church. The Greek word divided means, you know, cut into pieces. That was how the Corinthian church was functioning. And so Paul is challenging them. Christ is not divided. There should be unity. There should be love in the church. And so Paul emphasizes it in 1 Corinthians 1:10. He says, you know, unity in one another. Ephesians 4:11-13. You know, I can just go on and go on. And even Peter, you know, he writes in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 that we need to be living in harmony. And so the first thing we need to ask ourselves when we come into the Lord's Supper, as we come to worship God today, as we come to break bread today, am I united in Christ? What's my relationship with Him today? Or how is my relationship with Christ today? I don't want to take this communion because, you know, it's been served every first Sunday of the month. We need to ask ourselves. It's a time that we need to seek to see how we are related to God and how am I with one another. Is there oneness in the body? How is my relationship with one another in the church? And that's what John is trying to tell us. He names the disciples very vividly. Let me move on. And if you look at the particular passage, you know, John says it's a meal. It's a meal that unifies us, that brings us together. And secondly, you know, when I just move on into the passage, you know, Peter hears that it is the Lord. And so what happens? You know, Peter hears that it's Jesus. They were trying to catch fish. They did not get any. And so the Lord says, you know, throw your nets to the right. And they caught fish. And then when he heard it was Jesus, you know, Peter wanted to see Christ. He wanted to have an encounter with Christ. He comes, and then followed by the other disciples. Scholarship, you know, biblical scholarship says it was Peter who came first because he wanted to be in the presence of God. You know, when he came to Christ, I was just looking at the passage very carefully. You know, Peter is always seen as a person who always talks. Have you realized? You'll always ask Jesus questions. He's like a leader. Sometimes he's known as like a self-made leader. He's always asking Jesus questions after questions. He's always seen in the forefront. But what's happening now? Peter is speechless in the sight of God. No, he's very quiet in the sight of God. He should be asking questions. But he is quiet in the sight of God, my friends. He is quiet in the sight of God. I was asking myself, why? What made him quiet? Secondly, when I look at the meal, this meal should really humble me. It's a meal that brings humility into my life. When I look at the meal, you know, I should be humble. In other words, I should look at my life once again and see whether am I worthy. And if you look at the passage very carefully, well, some of the reasons why Peter was quiet, you know, if you look at verse 9, it says, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. You know, why is John so particular about certain words? He says, when they landed, they saw fire of burning coals. There was fire with burning coals. Can you remember another incident where there was fire with burning coals? Hello? I'm not talking about barbecue. Yes, Right? He denied Jesus. If you look at the Greek word very carefully, it's the same word. It appears in two passages. This passage and the night before, you know, the day he betrayed Christ. So when he saw the fire, right, and the coals, you know, immediately it strikes on him, I denied this Christ. I'm not worthy. I denied him three times. I said, I do not know him. And so I think that's what John is trying to tell us. You know, when Peter came, he was not able to speak because he saw the fire and the coal. He was reminded of his unfaithfulness. Of his unfaithfulness. But at the same time, if you realize, you know, Peter, you know, he cried, he wept. Right? He wept because he denied Christ. And if you look at the passage very carefully, it also says there was fire of burning coal and there were fish on it and some bread. You know, and very interestingly, you know, there was fish and bread, and I was just trying to see why. In the Eastern culture, when someone invites you, you know, and prepares meal with you, it always, it's a sign that shows, you know, I want to have friendship with you. It's a sign of a reassurance. I want to have friendship with you. I want to know you. And that's why, if you realize, when Jesus went, you know, to the sinner's house to have meal, the Pharisees were always upset with Christ because he went and associated with, you know, all the sinners. He went and had meals with them. And what was happening here? When Jesus, you know, prepares all this, Peter sees. He sees the fire. He realizes how unworthy he is in the sight of God. And the Lord is still inviting him. Come. If you realize, Peter was repentant. He wept. Right? The Lord is inviting him. And let me move on. So it's a meal that humbles us. So we need to ask ourselves, you know, when I come to the meal, you know, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says we need to examine ourselves. If you look at the Greek word very carefully, when Paul uses the word examine, you know, Paul is saying that I need to see myself. Well, am I fit to partake this communion? Am I fit? Am I worthy, right, to come and to be part of this wonderful meal? So the meal should humble us today. Are we worthy? But the Lord wants to have a loving relationship with us. He invites us. And if I move on, it's not only a humbling meal. What, you know, I realize what's happening here. You know, in verse 13, when I look at the in verse 13, you know, Jesus invites them. And not before that, in verse 9, if you see, you know, they come and they see fish on it and bread. So I was asking myself, you know, where did Jesus get the fish? Because if you realize a couple of verses before, he was asking that, you know, he was saying, friends or children, do you have some fish? But where did Christ get the fish? Where did he get all this? And so what's happening here? You know, I was trying to read some biblical scholarship, and very interestingly, some of the church fathers, you know, they say, you know, the Lord has the power to do everything. And so Jesus prepared everything. You know, he prepared the fish for them. He prepared the bread for them because he's a very powerful God and he's able to do that. And not only that, you know, he prepared everything for them. And what's happening here in verse 13, Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. In other words, he does it all. What a refreshing meal, right? When you go to someone's house and you see, you know, everything is ready for you. You need to say, you have to say grace and eat, that's all. So it's so wonderful. The Lord has prepared everything for them. Fish. Sometimes you might say, is it one fish, Pastor? You know, if I was just looking at, you know, some text, it says it can also be used as fishes too. Everything is prepared. It's a very refreshing meal. Why? The Lord is feeding them in verse 13. Right? He took the bread and he gave it to them and did the same with the fish. What a refreshing meal. The Lord is feeding them the way he did when he broke bread with them at the Passover meal. And today, I think we need to come, you know, joyfully, because the Lord has given himself for us that we can feed on him. Right? In Revelation 3:20, the Bible says, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Right? If anyone invites me, the Lord comes, because he wants to sup with us. And so today, the Lord has done everything for us. He died on the cross for us. He gave his life for us. You know, everything has been prepared. And so he says, you know, I have prepared everything for you. Come and have fellowship with me. And not only that, very interestingly, and Jesus also says in verse 10, you know, how do I come? Right? I come because it is prepared. Secondly, you know, he says, bring the fish. Right? Bring some of the fish you have caught. Look at the text very carefully, you know. I like to dwell on the text. You know, he says, bring the fish that you have caught. Did they catch the fish on their own? Hello? They got it because of Christ's help. You know, remember he said, you know, throw the nets on the right side. And they caught it. And Jesus could have said, you know, bring the fish. You know, the fish that I helped you to catch. He did not say that. Right? And very interestingly, if you look at the text very carefully, he says, bring the fish now. It is not seen in this English translation. The real word, it bring it now. In other words, the Lord says, bring it now. Whatever you have caught now, bring the fresh fish now. Whatever you have caught, that's what I want. And very interestingly, biblical scholarship says, you know, the way it is written, right? Bring it as a way of thanksgiving. Right? Lord, you have done this in my life. This last day, this last week, yesterday, you know, bring your offerings of thanksgiving, whatever God has done, and bring it now. You know, sometimes if you realize, we tell God, Lord, you know, I you have been so wonderful in my life because, you know, and I love you, you know, and we are very happy with the past, old stories of our life, old testimonies of our life. You know, once upon a time, you know, I experienced God's presence in my life, and this was my life. I thank God for that. But John says, no, now, what God has done, now, the new fish that he has done in your life, the new thanksgiving that he has done in your life, bring what you have now. And so we need to ask ourselves, what do we bring now to God? Can we say, Lord, this is what I've done for you, and this is my thanksgiving. Lord, with your help, Lord, with your strength, Lord, I was able to do this. With your strength, O God, with your guidance, you know, I was able to encourage another brother and sister in the Lord. Sometimes you're so happy because 2 years ago we did share the gospel, and that's it. It's not the word correct, the right translation. Jesus said, bring it now. Bring it now. When we come to the Lord's table, the table is prepared for us. Christ has given his life for us. What a refreshing meal. But let me tell you, my friend, I think, what are we bringing today? What kind of fish? Can we say, Lord, with your help, I was able to live a life for you this week. With your help, O God, you know, I was able to share your word. Oh, with your help, O Lord, I was able to live a life of testimony. And that's my thanksgiving. And that's my joy. Or will we say, Lord, and I did not do anything. No, I did not live a life for you. I did not even read your word. I was not for you. It's a refreshing meal. And lastly, let me finish with this. You know, if you look at it, you know, John writes and he says, you know, very interestingly, John is very particular about numbers. He says, you know, 153 fish, you know, and then and he says how many disciples, how many fish. And I was looking at biblical scholarship. It says, you know, John wrote this gospel after 67 years. after 67 years, he writes these words because he cannot forget what Jesus have done. How Jesus prepared the breakfast for them. How they were invited to be part of this wonderful fellowship. So this meal for John was a meal that he it's a loving meal. It's a meal he will never forget in his life. Can you imagine? After 67 years, John is able to write very vividly who were there, the amount of fish that was involved, the words that Jesus said, how Jesus invited them. You know, John was not able to forget all these things, my friend. Sometimes we tend to forget even what happened yesterday, right? What was the sermon last week? I am not asking you to test you. You know, but you know, when there are certain things that we will never forget. Have you realized? There are certain incidents in our life will never be erased from our minds because we treasure them, because those events are important for us. And so for John, this is important. Fellowshipping with the Lord was something he will never forget. He was longing for. He was just waiting, right, to write and to express how he was just longing for. Dear my friends, I do not know how you long to have fellowship with God today. David says, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. When we come to the table, are we having that kind of longing? Lord, you know, I want to be part. Lord, I want to be part of this refreshing meal. Let's not make it a routine thing, my friend, in our life. When we come to worship God, do we long to come into His presence and say, Lord, I long to be found in Your presence, worshiping You and being part of this wonderful event of breaking bread together. So my friends, we need to ask ourselves today as we come to the Lord's Supper, are we united in Christ? What's my relationship with God today? How's my relationship with one another in the church? When I see this meal, do I see myself? I'm not worthy, but the Lord invites me today. It's a refreshing meal because the Lord has done everything. He gave His life for me. And He says, come, bring the fish. The fish you and I caught because of God's help. With thanksgiving. I'll be coming with thanksgiving and saying, Lord, I lived a life for You to this week. I was a great testimony for You this week. Are you longing for His meal? Let me just share with you an incident that took place in history. It's about when the Duke of Wellington, when he defeated Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. The Duke of Wellington was, you know, so excited he was because he won Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. And so this British general attended a small church. He went to a small church. And during the service, there was communion. And so what happened, when the communion invitation was given, the Duke came forward. He came forward. He knelt down to receive the communion. At that point of time, you know, what was happening? There was an old man in the church. Old man, you know, he was not well dressed. He looked a bit more haggard. He came to the church and he too came to take part in the communion. And interestingly, he knelt beside the British general. Can you imagine? Great man, and beside him was an ordinary man. And the usher or the deacon at the back saw what was happening. And so he immediately ran to the old man, you know, and wanted him to just move to another side because that was the British general who was there. And very interestingly, it's a true story that took place. You know, before the usher was able to move him out from that place, the general, you know, he stretched out his hand, he held the old man's hand and said these words. And he said, don't move. We are all equal here. We are all equal here. Today, my friends, when we come to the Lord's table, the Lord says, we all equal here. Even Pastor Vincent or each and every one of us are equal here. The Lord invites us to the table. Are we united in Him? Are we united with one another? When I see, am I reminded of my life, how I was saved? I'm not worthy, but the Lord invites me. Is it a refreshing meal for you? What are the things that you're bringing to God as a way of testimony? Bring me some fish. Do you long for this meal? Let's pray. Like the small girl who asked the grandmother, why do you do that? Even the mother did not know the answer. I did this because someone told me to do that. I don't know why. My friends, how are we today? Are we here? Are we just worshiping because, you know, that's what I do? Are we here for the communion because, you know, it happens once every month? The Lord wants to have a relationship with us. And we need to come as a united body. United in Christ and united with one another. Let's take a moment and see how is our relationship with Christ today. How's our relationship with one another? The Lord invites us today because He has prepared, He has given His life for us. And He calls us, come and have breakfast. I've given my life for you. Just come. And God wants us to live a life of testimony. Are you bringing fresh fish, old fish? Are we living a life of testimony every day? Oh God, we thank you for this day, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship you today. Lord, help us, Lord, to come sincerely, loving you, seeking you, just longing to be found in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that even today you have called us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.